All right, so DeMeco Ryans and Nick Caserio met with Texan fans last night at the Texan State of the Union for season ticket holders. Big event they do every year. We learned that there's going to be a rivalry uniform in 2026. The McNairs revealed that, so there's another Texans uniform coming down the pipe. They said that it'll have the colors in it that everybody likes. They didn't get real specific with it, but so that's coming down the road. As far as what we teased into this segment, though, DeMeco Ryans, and again, the audio not great because you got people filming on their in a gigantic auditorium filming on their iPhones. It's not connected to the microphone, but you can make it out if you listen to it closely, and people tweet it out, too, the text of it. DeMeco Ryans singled out Justin Watson, the wide receiver out of Kansas City, as a player who first in, first out, kind of showing the ropes on what hard work looks like, all that good stuff.
Just a lot of Chiefs fans will tell you, hey, don't sleep on it, because Justin Watson has shown
a
up in
a lot
some big
of Chiefs at, fans will tell you this.
Big
yes.
moments at big times yes. where he's never had more than 27 receptions in a single season. That was 2023.
Neither is John Mechie or Xavier Hutchinson.
right. And then Justin Watson has 22 receptions last year, but he's had some moments in the playoffs at various times. So yeah, Chiefs fans have looked at him as a guy. They're like, oh, no, don't sleep on him. I guess this is going to be a hard wide receiving group to make, especially Braxton Berrios. Similarly, you don't necessarily expect much of him as a receiver, but he can be an electrical returner. And the guys that are on the fringe right now, a lot of it, I think with Justin Watson, at least part of it might be, they like that he has championship experience.
Yes.
I think they like that C.J. Gardner-Johnson yes. has championship experience.
Yes.
I think they like having as many of these guys on there potentially. They can kind of be preachers for what it's like when it does work out.
Yeah, I think that to me last night was I don't want to make too much out of a session with fans at a Q&A in the middle of May. But it was the only name DeMeco Ryans brought up was Justin Watson. I don't think it's nothing, you know. Like I think you're spot on with what they're looking for in some of these guys. That C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Justin Watson know what this looks like. I think matters when you're evaluating them as football players. You know?
So far, I guess at this point, the guys who have won the offseason in terms of getting brought up conspicuously are Ladarius Henderson, the guard.
Yes.
Justin Watson, yes. the wide receiver.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Kamari Lassiter got brought up by Nick in the same cut as Ladarius
Henderson.
About guys
that have really transformed their bodies so far this offseason.
Yeah, he volunteered that.
You know the old saying in the NFL, you don't get any credit for winning the offseason. I don't know. I feel like Justin Watson and Ladarius Henderson.
They're winning.
They're winning the offseason.
Maybe
so
you don't
far.
Get credit for it, but the fact is they're winning it right now, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm just looking at this wide receiver room. Like, again, you know, if you were paid to try to predict things like this, I would take what DeMeco said yesterday into account. I think the locks to make the team in the wide receiver room. Now, keep in mind, the wide receiver room last year, they went into the season technically with seven because they kept Steven Sims as a kick returner. So that's worth noting, especially because a few of the guys here have kick return ability. The locks are Nico Collins and Christian Kirk. These are all obviously assuming health for everybody. Everybody's healthy going into the season. Near locks, I mean, it would take a really, really horrific training camp for Jaden Higgins and Jalen Knoll to not make the team. They used second and third round picks, and I don't think either of these guys have horrific training camps in them either. So I think there's four near or virtual locks to make the team, which means there's essentially like 2.5 spots open if we, you know, we leave one open for a potential kick return specialist, right?
You're looking at Mechie, Xavier Hutchinson,
yep.
Justin Watson,
yep.
Braxton Berrios.
Yeah.
And those would be the main contenders.
Yes.
And then you got Jared Wayne and Xavier Johnson and Johnny Johnson III. And then Daniel Jackson, the rookie free agent that I produced a lot in college.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised he chose to come here, given he probably had multiple options for where to go as a rookie free agent.
Yeah.
His agent might have told him, look, it's a good organization. You got a good quarterback. Just plan on, yeah, fight like hell to make the team, but if they like you, they're going to keep you on the practice squad, and it's a good spot to be in, get in that program.
If you're undrafted, yeah, I think so. I think you're right. Like, it's going to be a hard team to make, but it'd be a good practice squad to be on for sure. So, yeah, man, like, I'm thinking Mechie, Hutchinson, Watson, and Berrios. That's like the four-man battle for two spots. Although Berrios has kick return ability.
Could be the seventh guy kept.
Yeah, he could be
returns.
This year's Steven Sims for sure. Question on the text page. Rank the weirdest QB rooms in history. Ever been any weirder than the one in Cleveland right now? That's from Irwin.
Cleveland, where right now, at least, you know, if you looked at the depth chart and took it for what it's worth, Shedeur Sanders is your fourth string running quarterback, and Deshaun Watson is your fifth string quarterback.
And the third,
it's weird.
And the third stringer is Dylan Gabriel, who was also drafted this year.
Yeah, there's five guys who can see could conceivably be the day one starter if Deshaun Watson has a miraculous return.
Yeah, and easily the most popular one is the first stringer, who's 40 years old and got them to the playoffs a couple years ago.
And probably has the least likelihood of being a starter this year. Yeah. I think that they're going to try to, you know, unless, we'll see.
He's the week one betting favorite right now, Joe
is
Flacco.
He's
like not a huge favorite, like minus 140 or something like that. But he's the betting favorite.
I would go with Kenny Pickett. I think just trying to, everything's just such a circus. And they've got this rookie quarterback competition. You bring in Kenny Pickett, where at the very least, let's figure out if there is an upside to Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
And before you know, we end up having this guy on the roster for three more years.
I don't even know that that's the weirdest one in the NFL right now. I'll tell you whose QB room might be weirder than that one.
Yeah.
The New York Giants. Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, Tommy DeVito.
Yeah.
And they traded up with... They traded up with the Texans to draft Jackson Dart, 25th overall.
You know what? I actually feel like as much as Shedeur and Deshaun are headline kind of quarterback controversy fodder there, I do feel like those guys individually in Cleveland, in terms of their personalities, in terms of Shedeur seemingly is understood the error of his process and knows that he has to prove himself that like he's not all these things that people are saying about him. I feel like that Cleveland room might do a better job of actually coexisting than the flat out number of weirdos they have in that Giants room.
That Giants one is a strange mix, man.
Russell Wilson's a weirdo.
Yes.
Jameis is a weirdo, but it's turned out in a pleasantly entertaining way.
Lovable weirdo. Jameis Winston,
I don't think he'll be a problem or a wedge or anything. But then you had Jackson Dart and then Tommy DeVito, who's always seems like he's got a chip on his shoulder that they're not treating him like he's the day one starter.
And a cult following up there, too.
I think there might be more drama there, man.
Yeah. What's the weirdest QB room in Texans history? It's a good text topic. Text in. The weirdest QB room in Texans history.
Back when they were rotating through Jake Delhomme and Jeff Garcia and all of those guys, that whole era seemed kind of weird.
That was 2011. That was the year they started the season with Schaub, Leinart, and TJ Yates. And then we know what happened with Schaub and Leinart. And they had to bring in like some vets to back up TJ Yates. And they brought in Jake Delhomme and Jeff Garcia.
That was the biggest year for notable names who were transitioning through Houston.
Yeah.
Because Leinart was still a huge name, at least.
Yeah.
And then you've got Delhomme, who had his moment with the Panthers where he was a big deal. And then Jeff Garcia obviously had a good career.
That was a year like Derek Mason was on the Texans that year. Like Derek Mason, who's one of the more underratedly productive receivers in NFL history.
Derek Mason Sr.?
Derek Mason, was there
the
a junior?
The football coach?
I
don't know. I get my Derek Mason screwed up. There's two. There's multiple Derek Masons.
There's Derek. Well, the one that played for the Titans all those years that had a ton of yards receiving. He was on the Texans that year, too. Someone's saying this. The Saints just have a bad QB room. Someone texted in the Saints. They have a bad QB room. It's not a weird QB room. It's weird because Derek Carr just up and retired on them, but Spencer Rattler, Tyler Shuck, and the Hayner kid out of Fresno State.
One of the weirdest dynamics was a couple years ago when the Texans had like all four of their quarterbacks at one point during camp were former number one high school recruits.
Because
Davis Mills,
Jeff Driscoll.
Kyle Allen, Jeff Driscoll, and one other guy was AJ McCarron a top recruit? I don't know. They had at least three guys. Every guy in the room was a former number one overall high school recruit.
At least three. Yeah.
It felt like Nick was starting to go after like these guys had potential once. they've got untapped potential.
And if you need any more proof that the high school graders and talent evaluators know even less than the college NFL evaluators, there's your proof.
Yeah.
Davis Mills, Kyle Allen and Jeff Driskel were all number one recruits coming out of high school.
It was funny. Yesterday I was kind of looking around for, I was trying to look up some of the measurables for really good pass rushers.
Yeah.
And it's funny. It's not the NFL you got to worry about, Sean. It's these college coaches when it comes to succumbing to stereotypes, I think. Because I'm looking at the various all-pro defensive linemen from the last decade or so.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at some of these guys who were lightly recruited or didn't get drafted as high. And I'm like, oh, Trey Hendrickson wasn't yeah. heavily recruited. Oh, J.J. Watt, walk-on there at Max Starks. Like none of the, like all those guys at some point, college coaches en masse
oh, yeah.
were saying like, nah, looks more like a blue-collar grinder. Maybe he could play tight end or offensive line or something.
Yep.
Like that. But then you look at their combine numbers and they're freakish athletes.
It's crazy. No,
yeah.
Oh, JJ especially, for sure. Brian Hoyer and Ryan Mallett, Hard Knocks here. That was awkward. It wasn't weird. That was just two guys competing. But I'll take awkward rooms as well. We'll take awkward rooms. Send them in. 713-572-4610. Pettycast. Are you ready to get petty?
I've been there, bro.
Always ready to get petty.
I've been drinking since 4 a.m.
Pettycast coming up next. Hey, Ross Tucker joining us at 9 o'clock on the show today, so stay tuned for that coming up a little later on in the show as well.